putting together for Monday on V&E. Hope you had a great weekend. If you were part of the high electricity crowd at Austin FC on Saturday night, Buck was there. 20,500. Matthew McConaughey in his Green Hornet suit. About the they call it the Listo. The Austin mural was really cool.
Beautiful.
They call it a Tifa. I don't know what they called that, but the mural was cool.
A mural to me.
They had a name for it. Tifa, Tifo, something. But pretty cool. Austin City of Legends was what it was. Tribute to the
Leslie
legend
was on there.
Yeah. Leslie made the cut. I don't know. I don't know about that one. Willie Nelson, no doubt. Stevie Ray Vaughan, no doubt. I have no problem there. I think McConaughey made it, didn't he?
Robert Jordan's on there. Yeah.
Leslie, though? That's a legend. No, I don't think they don't. Was Gary Clark on there? I only saw pictures of it online, so I couldn't really. But the detail was pretty spectacular.
He hadn't reached legendary status yet.
On his way. Leslie, well, you know, I would say this about Leslie. He was an icon of the city, and so.
He was noticeable.
People knew of him.
Noticeable.
And you would see him at places, yes. But a legend?
Be careful with that.
Yeah. Don't know. Don't know if I'm going there with that deal. But you were there. There were no goals scored, so that's a bummer. But at the same time, as you said, the support is there. The soccer will improve.
It's pretty in green. There's a lot of green there.
A lot of green. And the light, don't they have like green-hued lights?
Everything is green, man.
Matthew McConaughey's, Raul Salinas is on the mural there. So pretty cool. Pretty cool for the game. But nil-nil draw
after
for Austin FC.
After everything that's happened over the course of, I mean, it was a great weekend, Father's Day weekend to all the fathers out there. Hope you had a good one with your sons and daughters. And when we come back on this Monday, I hope the things I've heard last week about Herm Edwards are no longer. I mean, quit blaming Herm Edwards. Nothing happened. Nothing to see here. Can we just move along here at Arizona State? Please tell me that's all true, Zay. Nothing else has come up about Herm. All these false accusations can be put to rest that Arizona State
I think
is,
the dossier that was turned over has receipts.
I hate that word, dossier.
Receipts and pictures
and
screen
receipts.
Screen caps, screenshots.
Cash only. That'll get you
it's
every
not
time.
Looking good for Herm and his coaching staff at
Nothing
Arizona
has become
State.
Of it? Nothing over
well,
the
I mean,
weekend
the
that says that that's not true?
No, there's
I was
been
expecting
no one
to
say not true.
Okay, that's what I was expecting to hear. It ain't true today.
I don't think you're going to hear
that. It ain't about you!
Yeah, come on, Herm.
Okay.
Hey, let's get to your headlines to start the 8 o'clock hour, the trending topics, things you need to know as you're up and out starting your work week. Top Gun, Lawn and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And yeah, Longhorns, Omaha College World Series have dropped into the loser's bracket, their first loss so far of the postseason. As they dropped a tough and tight one last night in Omaha to Mississippi State. Longhorns dominated by Mississippi State pitching for 8 innings. Then they had a 9th inning rally, came up just short, and they lose it 2-1. Longhorn hitters struck out 21 times against the hard-throwing right-hander Will Bednar and the All-American closer Landon Sims. Bednar registered 15 of those 21 Ks. Ty Madden outstanding on his side in his first College World Series start. He struck out 10 batters over 7 frames, but a leadoff walk in the 4th. Led to a couple of hits, and that gave the Bulldogs their only runs. Texas scored their lone run in the 9th with Mike Antico, a leadoff solo home run. Then 2-out singles from Ivan Melendez and Cam Williams had runners at the corners, but the rally was not to be. Doug Hodo grounded out to 2nd to end it for head coach David Pierce.
Tough night. I mean, it's a humbling game, and every player that has played this game for any length of time has gone through a tough game like that. Tough to see it happen to him on a big stage, but, you know, maybe some of our youth came out today and just tried to force some at-bats, but we just have to make some adjustments and understand our swing playing against two of the best guys in the country that maintain their, you know, their playing without losing it, and, you know, tip your hat to them. They were outstanding.
Texas will now face an elimination game against third-seeded Tennessee Tuesday afternoon in Omaha. Vols lost to Virginia in the early game yesterday, 6-0. Golf, what a finish at the 121st U.S. Open in San Diego yesterday. Jon Rahm captures his first career major championship, and he did it in dramatic fashion as some of the top players in the world were collapsing around him down the back nine. The 26-year-old Spaniard never flinched on the South Course. Then with the championship in sight, He drained birdie putts on 17 and 18 to finish off a final round 67. Good for a one-shot victory over Louis Oosthuizen. High drama in the NBA playoffs yesterday as well. Break up the Atlanta Hawks. They went into Philadelphia last night and took down the top-seeded 76ers, 103-96 in Game 7 of that Eastern Conference semifinal series. Kevin Huerter delivered a playoff career-high 27. Trae Young had 10 of his 21 in the fourth as the Hawks get that series and face Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. Bucks reached the Final Four of the NBA with an incredible Game 7 win, overtime win over Brooklyn on Saturday night. And it will go down as an instant classic. Western Conference Finals got underway yesterday. Phoenix Suns, playing without Chris Paul, took down the Kawhi Leonard-less LA Clippers, 120-114 in Game 1. Devin Booker posts a 40-point triple-double in the win. Major League Baseball, Houston Astros, one of the hotter teams in baseball. They won 7 in a row. They just finished off a four-game sweep of first place Chicago. Beat the White Sox again yesterday, 8-2. Houston, as we said, 7 straight. They pull into first place in the AL West. Rangers have dropped 6 in a row. They lost to the Twins. Round Rock lost to Oklahoma City, 7-2 at Dell Diamond.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Come to Top Gun and buy or rent the equipment you need for your construction and lawn projects, and you could win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio Tequila or Blanton's Whiskey.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, Buck, a lot of Texas baseball conversation this morning. Thank you to Ty Harrington last night. We're getting a lot of, you know, Texas wasn't mentally prepared. Texas
I don't
wasn't
get that. I don't understand why you would come into, I mean, there's a lot of things you can say, but not mentally prepared. I mean, I think that's not true at all. That, I mean, those guys are about as prepared as you can get. They're in Omaha. They're at the College World Series. What did you think? They just sat around the hotel
the
whole time
team.
And they played fungo baseball? No, they were prepared. They met a really good, solid pitchers. Now, I thought they were anxious more than anything. You know, you can say that the team is, you know, we're not in awe of Omaha, but you got a lot of young players on this baseball team. You got two guys that have been there before. Anxious, yeah, not prepared. I think that's kind of a reach to say that sounds like somebody that just didn't show up. I mean, that group showed up. They just look anxious in the batter's box. Well, they thought a 2-0 lead, we can get this, let's jump back in there and start swinging when you're facing a very good pitcher on both sides.
Well, and look, if you just look at the numbers going in, I mean, Will Bednar, in 80 innings of work this year, has struck out 128 batters, right? That's 12 or 13 an inning, or again, nine innings. The reliever, Landon Sims, has struck out 91 in 49 innings. He's 16.9 strikeouts. These are two of the best strikeout pitchers in baseball because of, you know, the velocity and then the hard breaker off of the, you know, the ball in the same slot. And Texas had a hard time with it. Were they unprepared? I don't know. They ran into two good pitchers. And in the
end, you can do things. I mean, you can make adjustments. Maybe if you said that I don't think they made really good adjustments during the course of the game, I buy that. But to say they're unprepared, I think that's just kind of a reach, you know?
Well, I thought whether it was the shadows early or whatever, anxiety or eagerness, I thought Texas made it really way too easy on Will Bednar early. First couple of innings, it was almost like they weren't even making him sweat. And he was just in a rocking chair out there, as you said, step out of the box.
Yeah,
you know,
make him walk around the mound once in a while.
You also have to tip your cap to him because he was really good. I mean, he was hitting his spots. He was dotting it where he wanted. He was pitching with a lot of electricity. The ball was just jumping out of his hand. And, the early sun was tough, I thought. But in the end, and this is where in the middle innings where I thought the umpiring came into play, and I'm by no means blaming the umpire. I'm just saying I thought he was erratic. And, you know, through the second and third time through the lineup, Texas was trying to work some counts, right? They were trying to get a count into their favor. They were trying to get a plus count for the batter. And then there'd be balls that would look like a ball. You know, it'd be a 1-0 count, and all of a sudden it's about to be 2-0, and he calls it a strike. So now it's 1-1. You're like, what? That's a strike. And I think, you know, for a fan, that was frustrating. But then for a hitter, you're like, okay, I need to be patient. I need to work this count a little bit. Well, now you're going to be overly aggressive again because the umpire is widening the zone. And as Ty Harrington said last hour, the umpire was a former player of his at Arkansas State, and he said he's a strike caller. So combine this, right, the nerves of Omaha, two great pitching staffs with two high strikeout pitchers, and then an umpire with a wide strike zone. Well, that makes it even more of a challenge. So I think that's what you ended up seeing. Doesn't mean you weren't prepared. Doesn't mean you weren't mentally in the game. It means that's how baseball is. And, you know, a leadoff walk for Ty Madden hurt. Fluky play, I thought, down the right field line that led to a triple, you know, hurt. And, you know, when you're in that scenario, margins are very slim. And, you know, Texas really, I thought, played into that a little bit with their approach. But at the same time, that was just two really good pitching staffs, and in the end, they had five hits. Texas had four. They had two runs. Texas had one. Texas had the winning run on first and the tying run on third in the ninth inning. But that's baseball to me. That's baseball.
Yeah, I thought they let. I thought they fell into the pitcher's hands. They just kind of. They didn't make him wait. They didn't make him do anything different. They just jumped right back in the batter's box. And a couple of times, as they were saying, on the break, 3-1 pitches, those guys ran down the first like it was a ball. No, dude, by this time, this ump, everything is the possibilities. High pitches in there for strikes. You make that guy work on the mound. He didn't seem like he had to work. He was just smiling and throwing balls. And, he was in his rhythm. While I thought the batters let him get into his rhythm instead of throwing him off just a little bit.
Well, and that's
but I don't think that's lack of preparation.
It's part of the game.
I don't get that part.
And look, that's you have two strikeout. You have three. I mean, Ty Madden's a strikeout pitcher too. I mean, you got two All-Americans at starting the game who are going to be first round draft picks.
Dude, they only had one hit more than you did.
And yeah, they won like they had to work for their two runs were
right.
The first thought with Ty Madden when he four-pitch walked to start the fourth, you're like, ugh. That's what the stakes are, right? That's the margins. That's a free pass. Can't be doing that when you're in a pitcher's duel with this guy over there that's throwing electric stuff. And
it was nice to see that stadium EPAC, too. That place was Omaha. That thing looked great.
Yeah, so it was. And that's a great scene.
Packed.
Now, look, the positive is Texas, play Tennessee on Tuesday, and you have an opportunity to play your way back into it. And the Longhorns do have a pitching staff, and we've said this all year, the resiliency label for Texas when they have had a bad game or have had some adversity.
It's true.
All year long, they've played some of their best baseball beyond that, and that's what it's going to take to battle through the loser's bracket. It's not ideal, but at the same time, that's the way the tournament goes. And, Virginia... How about Virginia, by the way? They beat Tennessee yesterday.
Beat them down 6-0, right?
Yeah, we know Virginia. That's their ninth playoff game already. Texas has only played six. They've had to play six elimination games, Virginia, and have survived. So that's a gritty group that you're going to potentially deal with down the road if you can beat Tennessee because the team on Tuesday that loses is gone. It's two and barbecue for whoever loses the Vols-Longhorns matchup. But I do think, yes, they have to have a more patient approach when they get to the dish on Tuesday afternoon.
Yep.
But saying that was just a perfect storm of two really good pitchers, an umpire with a huge zone that led to players being a little bit more, because when you don't know what's going to be called a strike and not, you have a pretty good batter's eye. You're trying to work a count, and all of a sudden you're in an adverse count because a ball got called a strike. That's tough, and that makes you even more jumpy in the box. And that's the game, though, and that's what the Longhorns ran into last night.
Yeah, I don't know enough about baseball. I just know there were a lot of pitches that were hit the guys in the letters, and I was like, it seems a little high to me.
Yeah.
And on both sides. Everybody, I'm like, this guy's calling these high pitches.
It was two-way. There were some certainly when Pete Hansen got in the game, there were some balls he got that were like, whoa. Carl Ravitch made mention of one of the, and there were a couple. That, and if you play the game, you understand that the difference between a 2-2 count and a 3-1 count is huge. For a batter or for a pitcher, right? And you take a 2-2, you show good patience on a 2-2 pitch that all their, whatever, and all of a sudden this could be a 3-1 count, and you're sitting there feeling good, or now it's a 2-strike count, it's back to a pitcher's advantage. That's, I don't say demoralizing, but that's frustrating because you feel like you did what you should have done to work a count, and now all of a sudden the umpire just took it away from you, and the pitcher now has the advantage. And he's a really good pitcher, by the way. So on paper, again, Texas has been a high strikeout team at times, especially against good pitching, and you had the two highest strikeout guys in college baseball that you were facing last night. Those two dudes strike out a lot of batters, and this pitching staff, Mississippi State, strikes out a lot of batters. And that's where some are saying David Pierce should have bunted more, been more, that's fair. I mean, I think there was a moment early in the game where Eric Kennedy, the ninth hitter, was leading off. Might have gone and used him as a try to bunt something, get him on base. Make them make a play, because if 15 of the first 18 outs are strikeouts, which they were, 15 of 18, and the only balls put in play were, hits to the outfield, Ivan Melendez put the best swing early, drove one to the warning track, but the other stuff was pretty weak contact. They were struggling with the bat, but as Ty Harrington said, Buck, it's a 27-out game, and in the end, Texas nearly got back in it, nearly had their opportunity. Mississippi State had their inning in the fourth, Longhorns had their inning in the ninth, and came up short.
Yeah, if you get away from what you've been doing, putting balls in play, you still have to still try to put the ball in play. But that team's got good defense, too. They're very similar, both teams. They look like carbon copies of each other when you see them play and the way they play. So They only had, I mean, that group had five hits. They had a couple timely hits, but they didn't do anything spectacular except for the guy on the mound. But so was the guy on the mound for Texas. That's just one game that got away from you. Now you're in the loser's bracket. Now you find out what you're made of, and generally this Texas team has bounced back after a loss. So for those who think it's lack of preparation and now all of a sudden you're not quite sure of the team again, well, that's the way fans are.
Well, and all these
at times
he's blaming the ump. No, I'm not blaming the ump. I'm saying that fact.
It was both ways.
The umpire was a factor in the outcome on both sides. He was at his strike zone was a part of the what went on last night. That's if you watch the entire game, that's hard to dispute. I think both sides would agree with that. And it was a pitcher's strike zone, which with good pitching and an umpire with a wide zone, that makes it even tougher to be a hitter. And, you know, 9 total hits, 33 total strikeouts on the night would indicate that was true.
Now, and here's something. Now, here's an explanation just saying not prepared. He said there were times he thought Coach Pierce should have come down the line, made the batter get out of the batter's box, slow the pitcher down a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, that's different than not prepared. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think
that's
fair.
Totally different.
I agreed. And you know, David Pierce is going to do his thing at third base.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can put a take sign on just to an at bat, you know, maybe work it a little bit, you know, try to get him out of his rocking chair out there on the mound. All those things are fair. But again, that's just how baseball is. And that's kind of how the game goes. Both sides were tough and tight. And that's where the Longhorns are. We knew that going in. Mississippi State, a really, really good baseball club. And you ran into their two best pitchers on a night that they both pitched really good. So that's the Longhorn scenario. They play Tennessee on Tuesday.
By the way, this is a team that they've lost to before. So yeah. It's not like they're chopped meat.
No. Everybody here is good. You're not at this point without quality arms and a quality ball club. All right, Buck, so that's there. We've got John Rahm winning the U.S. Open. We'll have to look at our bracket contest and see how you did and I did. I know I didn't do very good.
Top 25?
Well, I don't. I'll look for you, but I can only check my scores, but I can try to find you. Your guy Rosie hurt you a lot. Like, Rosie finished like plus 13 or something for the tournament. Like, your guy Justin Rose melted down. He had a meltdown.
Knew I shouldn't have been taking him. I haven't taken him all year. Why am I bringing him back in there?
I'm assuming I did not do very well in that because, well.
You know, the other guy who was in there.
Winning is hard.
The other guy who was right in there that should have, you know, you thought had a chance, Scheffler. He was right in there. It was like minus 2.
Scotty Scheffler is going to be a factor moving forward. Is there any doubt Scotty Scheffler? I mean, he's just as consistent as it gets. He's around all the time.
His putting.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, he's learning his way here. These are all new experiences for Scotty Scheffler. And, you know, I think he is announcing, you know, he'll break through at some point and find a way. Now, Jordan Spieth, his, you know, fellow Longhorn, he burst on the scene and took the golf world by storm, mm-hmm. and now he's trying to find his way back. By the way, Jordan is playing better. And Scotty Scheffler, you know, he's going to be in the conversation here because he's consistently week by week.
Sort of like Rahm.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just kind of there, right? And we heard John Rahm, how about the fact that when he was at Arizona State as a golfer from Spain, that his golf coach at Arizona State was Tim Mickelson, who happens to be Phil Mickelson's brother and caddy at this point. And it was John Rahm who said that early on in his career at Arizona State, Tim told him that his first major championship would be a U.S. Open.
How about that?
And he said, no way. Because a Spaniard had never won the U.S. Open.
That's
Seve
Ballesteros
never won a U.S. Open. And he's like, no way, that's not going to be the case. And, of course, here it is. First major was the U.S. Open.
And I did not see the rattlesnake during the course. Somebody said there was a California rattler.
Really?
I don't know what that's called, but I didn't even know they had snake like that in California. Sure, there was desert. There's some desert there. But, no, they showed the snake on TV. I did not see it. I would have been in a panic even on TV to think if I hit a ball in there, I walk in there. So the rat, they said it was a big sucker, too.
Oh, man. No,
I've only seen my one snake so far this season, just a little garter snake.
Did you know
Zay, they're all the same, aren't they, Zay? Snake is a snake.
By the way, the E. Hogan team, Team E. Hogan in our golf contest, 206th place.
Where's Team Zay at? Come on, Zay.
What's the name of it?
What is it, Zay? Just under Zay, right?
Yeah, Isaiah Collier.
Yeah. We don't fancy our stuff up.
I just put E. Hogan. That's not super fancy. For sure, because
some of you
people are
move.
I'm going through here looking for you. We'll try to find it on the other side of where you guys landed.
Zay, you may have just screwed us again.
You're going to blame Zay. That's hilarious.
I blame the umps. Hey, the strike zone. Come on.
How about this year in the majors? three very unlikely champions, right? Hideki Matsuyama, a player from Japan for the first time ever,
yep,
wins a major and a Masters. Phil Mickelson at 50 years old wins a major, which is completely outside the box. And now a Spaniard wins a major for
now
the first
I see
time.
Now I see why FanDuel and all that stuff gambles on this. That's the biggest deal. It's tough to figure it out.
It's impossible to figure it out. These are all real good players who catches fire with the right moment, who avoids, you know, the calamitous shots. And that's kind of
Louis
the rancher. Learned a lot about Louis the farmer yesterday.
I did too.
That he loves to. He loves his ranches.
Get back to the farm.
Get back to the farm. But don't go left on 17.
Dude, how could you do that?
I don't know how he could do that. I'm still looking for you. But on the other side, we'll find Isaiah. Call your team. I'm 206 in the standings. Thanks to everybody that participated in that Major Golf Challenge. It's a lot of fun to watch your favorite players blow up like we did over the weekend. But that was cool. The final major, Buck, coming up next month. It'll be the here's what we also have in golf this year.
The Open
Championship, the British, the Olympics, which, by the way, I saw this morning, note on the Olympics, Kevin Durant is going to the Olympics. For Team USA.
So is KY. He's going. He said he was going.
Did he?
He said it a long time ago. He's going to go play for Pop.
Well, Kevin Durant is, and that's a big factor. He'll be the best player. He's the best player in the world right now. He's going to play for Team USA, it looks like, which is great news. So we'll start zeroing on the Olympics, and the Ryder Cup is this year. Remember, they're going to come back and do the Ryder Cup again.
You know who won't be able to show us, who always shows us everything we need to see? CB will not be able to pull up that rattlesnake today.
Oh, Rattler that people are saying was huge.
I'm after CB right now. He can't get it done today. He will not be able to show me that snake.
All right, we'll find out. We'll come back. It's B&E with you. It's a Monday, recapping the good, the bad, and the ugly from a great weekend. NBA playoffs, Houston Astros streaking in Major League Baseball. We'll get to all that. Also, salacious gossip and your blitz before the end of the hour. It's B&E on a Monday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, I can't find Bucky's team on our Horn Golf Challenge, Major Golf Challenge Championship thing, Dale. I'm 206. We've had hundreds. We've got hundreds and hundreds of entries. Zay, were you able to find? Zay's going to find it because I'm just scrolling through names, and I probably passed it, but I'm not finding you. I'm down to like 600 people and whatever, 488, and I still don't find you.
Glad you guys get involved in that. There's some great prizes to the winner.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up in there.
Dang right. Dang right. I'm still looking for the U.S. Open snake as well.
I got to see that thing because I just want to be horrified just to think of why I wear snake long pants. Like a long pants are going to help me when that snake's teeth get through that fabric and into my veins. I do. That's why I don't wear, very seldom do you ever see me in shorts, period. But on a golf course, for some odd reason, I hit a lot of balls in the woods and I like to have long pants on. And I'm thinking it's going to protect me from the snakes, which it really is.
In the wintertime, I will wear slacks, as we call them, golf slacks. But during the summer, no. It's shorts.
Too hot, yeah.
Too dang hot to be covering up the legs.
Yeah, and we're still in that Gold Bond powder phase right now, too.
Oh, man. It's warm, and it'll be 97 today for the high, and it's going to feel like 105, I think I saw with the heat index because of the humidity that is still out there. For sure. But a lot of good stories today. A lot of good, a lot of bad, and some ugly. The Longhorns in their 21 strikeouts, pretty ugly last night against some tremendous pitching at Mississippi State. And the Longhorns now into the loser's bracket. We'll have more on that with Craig Way coming up in the Craig Way Report from Omaha. We also had good NBA hoops over the weekend. Austin FC with their debut out at the new Q2 Stadium. Bucky in attendance. And as you sift through the good, the bad, and the ugly, Buck, Houston Astros. Seventh straight. I was excited to see this series with the White Sox, you know, because the White Sox come to town and they're a first place team in the Central, whether they like their manager Tony La Russa or not, but they were playing some really good baseball. And the Astros not just beat them, they beat the daylights out of them. They swept four games from the White Sox. They outscored them 27-9 and really dominated. A very good baseball team. So the Astros kind of flexing their muscles in Major League Baseball into first place now, 15 games over .500. The Astros are in the MLB. And your Yankees pulled off a triple play.
Is that the second one they've had?
It's their third. That's a new MLB
this year?
Record. Third this year, triple play. I think, that ended the game. Triple play to end the game. And that, I think that was against the A's. So that did the Astros
back? Are we on fire now?
I don't know about on fire. Let's not go with on fire.
Okay.
Playing better.
Sure.
Playing better with the Yankees.
My Sixers are not on fire. And I'm not going to get away from the team. I think I'm trusting the process, but the process needs to get rid of Ben Simmons. That's part of the process. The process is that's not going to work.
The whole league just watched it.
They don't want him.
His value is diminished, let's just say.
He needs to go play in Europe then.
No.
Yeah, hell yeah. Why not?
Zay, play general manager. Where can you trade Ben Simmons? Is there a fit for him? I mean, because I saw this guy pucker up in a bad way in this series. And
pucker up.
He did. He shot 34% from the foul line. I know he's not a good shooter, but he didn't like the pressure at all.
Zay, what is he? Is he lefty? Is he righty? Is he a soccer player? Does it hit off his head and go in the basket? I guarantee you soccer players could bounce the ball off their head at the free throw line and make better than 30%.
See, that's the thing. He throws right, like you see him throwing full court passes with the right hand. I think he
throws a football right-handed.
Yeah, I think he throws a football right-handed.
Doesn't
I think he,
sense.
You know, writes right-handed, but when it comes to shooting free throws, all left.
34%? Like Shaq thinks he's a good free throw shooter, this guy.
I mean, really?
And he's a point guard. I don't get it. But
I love the way he brings it up to court, though. He does a great job, bring it up half court, toss it off to Steph Curry, to Dell Curry, and then goes in the corner and stands there. That is great. That is great. That's the process is terrible.
Hey, listen.
The whole process is no good.
He is he's a tremendous-looking athlete. That's why he was the first pick in the draft, because he looks like the guy.
He looks the part.
He's 6'10". He's got long arms. He's lean, but put together. It's just between the ears.
And you know who's talking about him right now on TV? Magic Johnson, because that's who everybody thought he was going to be.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Magic had a terrible jumper, didn't he? That little push shot that he had?
Yes, because
one of the worst forms in NBA history.
It was kind of a shot putter for Magic.
But he had that nice little hook shot. Hey, Ben, grab yourself a hook shot in there somewhere.
Well, yeah, develop an offensive game. But more concerning for me watching Ben Simmons in this playoffs is not only does not he not have an offensive game, he doesn't have the nuts for it. He doesn't want it. The pressure is too much. I mean, he doesn't really want to be in the moment, and so Doc Rivers knows that, so now he can't have him on the floor, but he's, yeah, I mean, you're right. They did compare him to Magic Johnson. They said he's a big 6'10 point guard who's going to learn to shoot. People compared him to Jason Kidd because he's got that type of floor awareness and vision and the size and the physicality, but great, you know, he's all defensive
Speaking
type player.
Of Jason Kidd and the Dallas Mavericks, I'll take Porzingis if you want to switch up Ben Simmons for Porzingis. I'll take that long, skinny 7-footer that can barely stand on his twigs before I take a guy who can't score anything. I would make that trade. That's a good enough trade right there, Zay, right? Straight up?
That would be one of the worst trades for both sides in NBA history.
But I'd take it.
Yeah,
I would take Porzingis, yes. I would take that chance.
Mark Cuban just has to ask the sports gambler what he thinks of that trade. by the way, I found it. Breaking news.
Okay.
I found you guys in our Horn Major Golf Challenge. I was 206th in the rankings.
Yeah,
you were 281st. Struggling.
It's a long way from the top 25.
It's a long
way. That's
why
I did not set the bar very high.
And I can't confirm that Bryce Doggett is going to win, because the way this works is it's got to wait a few days and everything's got to settle and then we'll have a winner. But it does look like someone with a team named Bryce Doggett has won this thing.
Ooh.
This time around, with a total of plus 22, which is really good.
That's what I'm saying. You can't have guys, like you said, plus, and you can't have anybody drop out. Now, I thought Matsuyama would win, but Rosie, come on, man. You know, there it is. I had John Rahm right there in that one.
You had Rahm in the first, and you still finished 281st? Who'd you have in the second group? Cantlay?
Oh, no. Zay picked Weeb Simpson, remember?
Oh, yeah. Webb gave you plus 20. Ouch. And you want negative, by the way. You don't want plus.
Oh, sorry.
He gave you plus 20. In golfer group three,
Matsuyama?
He was plus 3, finished over par. In group four, you took Kokrak. We both took him. Where was he at?
Where was that? What did that dude
plus do? Plus 20. That plus 20 means didn't make the cut. Didn't even play into the weekend, so you get a plus 20. Those are killers. If you pick everybody that makes the cut, you have a decent chance.
I took
because I took Will Zalatoris. Oh, he went plus 20.
What about Cameron Smith? What did he do?
Plus 20.
Zay, what are you doing?
Phil Mickelson got me plus 11. At least he played into the weekend.
I got him. That was a bad move, Mark. Followed you on that one.
Why did I take Sam Burns? Because you know why? Because Sam Burns, you were all excited about Sam Burns.
I was.
He didn't make the cut.
Oh, there's Rosie. Another plus 20.
It's tough, man. Tough sledding. Yeah,
it's hard winning. And then I took Cloris Leachman. What was she? Plus 12.
Mark Leishman?
Yes.
Plus 12. I took Brian Harmon. He could keep finish plus two. He was
dude,
in the
did
mix.
You see him four jack a putt?
I did.
Oh, my God. He was so mad.
Those putts are hard, man. Putting is hard.
Putting is hard.
Putting is difficult. I also took Gary Woodland, who finished plus eight. You took...
Gary Woodland.
Yeah, plus eight. We did not do well. But props to whoever's going to win that
I
thing.
Will be better. I'm going to really study this for the Open. Because I'm European. So, Zay, we're going to get together and get this thing together for the European.
Why do I
Open?
Have to be there?
He doesn't have no golf.
Because I need you to get me in the thing.
We're making your own account. That's what we're doing.
And you're putting your name on it.
Oof.
And the British Open, the Open Championship's like the most difficult one because you never, I mean, it's like these guys, because it's people all over the world and who knows.
You know what I'm going to make that? I'm going to make that a 2,500 unit play that I'll be in the top 25 for the British Open.
In July?
Yeah. So FanDuel and everybody else, I'm going to get you guys. Is that the backside of the snake?
Zay found the snake. Oh, my gosh. It looks like an alligator's tail. That is, somebody texted that it was a trouser snake. That was not a trouser
no,
snake.
It was
that
not
is
a, no, or trouser trout. No,
that thing is like a tree trunk.
That's the backside of it?
Yeah, somebody snapped a photo that Chris Bennett CB found.
But that's all we saw. We didn't see the front of it. We didn't see the ugly
Look
head
at the
of it,
size
right?
of the rattler.
I know. For every one of those things, it's a year old. So it looks to be an old one.
Yeah, he's lived a while out there in the cliffs of Torrey Pines. How about the gliders? The people flying around, you know, they're flying. Look like they're
that
land on
that
the
wouldn't
green.
Bother you, right?
When yeah, over. It looks like they're going to land on the green because they have to get close to the cliffs to get the updrafts. So they're like, they're right there.
That's not another one of the things I'd like to do just for fun.
You're not, you know.
No. I'm the guy you read about. Like, I'm the guy you read about at one of the theme parks that, you know, it only happens once in a million times where the guy gets thrown out of the roller coaster. That would be me. I'm the guy. First time it's ever happened. Buck got thrown out. How does that happen? One in a million.
I think it's Rod Babers who I've heard say that
I won't get, no.
Black folks are not adrenaline junkies, typically.
I haven't been.
We got enough going on.
I've never been on a roller coaster that I've had my eyes open for the whole ride. I've never kept my eyes open during the course. No, they close. And when it's ended, my kids would say, okay, you can open your eyes up now. I'm like,
Zay's agreeing with Art Rod Babers. Skydiving? Nope. You know.
Nope.
Hang gliding? Nope.
Mountain climbing?
Nope. Nope.
None of that stuff. No thanks.
I'm not a black guy, but I'm kind of with you. I do like roller coasters. I do like an adrenaline
do you like
shot
those?
Every now and again. I have no interest in jumping out of an airplane.
Zay, you like roller coasters? Do you do
Hell
that?
To the no.
Not even that?
No.
I like them because they're, as far as adrenaline things go, they're pretty safe. They're pretty safe. How often do you actually hear of a roller coaster incident? Every once in a while.
See, there it is. You just said it.
Yeah, but it goes around and around a million times before that happens.
First of all, the one I used to hear about maybe 12, 13, 14, maybe even longer, maybe 20 years ago, is down in San Antonio where the lady ended up in a parking lot.
Yeah, because she was so big, the thing wouldn't close all the way.
Well, big people like to ride roller coasters. They should have that thing strapped
in. That was
in.
Like what the outcome was. That, like, you know, it's supposed to click, 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 click. It's supposed to click. It didn't.
It just laid over the top of her.
And that was a mistake. Dang, coach. Ooh, that's a tragic coaching mistake.
I mean, she ended up in the parking lot. That would be Buck. Hey, look, there he is.
Yeah, that's called momentum. The thing turns, you don't, because you're not strapped in, and whoop.
No, I just, that's why I don't do it. I feel that bad luck when I'm on those things. But I've gone on the mini ride up in Fort Worth. You know the mini? They have a mini roller coaster.
Well, that's
you
so,
see my grown ass
how
up
cute.
There?
How
that
cute.
Is cute. I'll get on that one.
Well, you know, I grew up going to Astroworld down in Houston. I had like season pass one couple summers because you could get them, and we'd go down there all the time. So I love roller coasters. But you know, my old age, I've discovered that when we go ride roller coasters, now if I ride a roller coaster,
Depends.
Sometimes. Where my feet do not touch the ground. You know, they have the feet hanging coasters
oh,
now.
Oh, no.
No, I get like, I come off it feeling like I'm hungover. I get something equilibrium thing going in my ear. Like I come
when your feet
off
don't
I'm,
touch the ground, huh?
If my feet are set, I'm good. And I can ride any of the roller coasters. But if my feet are hanging, I come off of that thing and I'm like about to throw up. Like it's bad. It's real bad. I'm car sick.
I think my wife is one who likes like the highest roller coaster you can find. Like and Craigway would know this because... In North Carolina, they'd have the yearly fair, and they had the double Ferris wheel. And when I was a kid, I was on the double Ferris wheel, and I was on that top seat at the top of the one where it stopped. and just kind of hung there.
Uh-huh.
So I was like almost crying. I mean, I was like in tears, you know. I think I was on that thing with one of my cousins or something. They're going like, isn't this cool? Let's rock it. You know what I mean? Like, while we're up top, let's just rock the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm in tears. I'm like, that was it for me.
No,
I won't even get on the Ferris
thing,
wheel.
Then.
Not your thing. Not ever going to be my thing.
Yeah. Well, don't ever go to a place called Cedar Point in just outside of Cleveland. Don't ever go there. Sandusky, Ohio.
That's I'll do anything in SeaWorld.
World famous roller coasters there.
Anything in SeaWorld and places like that. I mean, I'll go to the zoo and let the monkey throw crap on to me, and I can go to SeaWorld and put a fish in my mouth and let the whale come and take it out. But anything to do with rides, I just can't do it.
What about the carnivals that they be having on Ben White? And
yeah,
stuff?
No.
Oh, hell yeah. No. That place.
Where Mutt and Jeff are setting it up with wrenches and stuff? No, man. No.
Where they come apart
all
the time.
Tear it apart, put it back together, yeah. Take it down the street, put it back up. No.
Yeah, that's the one where the kids always say, can we stop there? And I'm like, no,
hell
we
no.
Can't stop there.
No. But they're always packed. Somebody's there.
Yeah, somebody's there is right.
Well, it's like when I was at Astroworld growing up. I mean, you'd get on the Cyclone. The Cyclone was this old-ass wooden roller coaster, and it would rickety, it would just shake. If they were ever going to be scared on a roller coaster, it was that one.
So that's making me nervous even talking about this.
It was wooden. It was old, man. That thing, classic, though. It's classic.
Slitter bomb.
Oh. All right, let's get to your blitz. I mean, it's your time to shine. You know it. The clock is ticking. Let's get to that. 447-3776. A little salacious gossip ahead of that. But first, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. So many great opportunities. Father's Day, of course, with a nice cold Bud Light. The U.S. Open, the college baseball, basketball. There was so much to do. Maybe just getting out to the swimming pool or the water and enjoying some R&R on your Father's Day. But do it with a nice cold Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer. I love those Bud Light seltzers as well. And Austin FC. I'm sure there were some Bud Lights being consumed at the game on Saturday night, Buck, while you were out there.
All the kids had them, too.
No kids just drinking kidding. Bud Light.
Everybody had something in their hand.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the concession stands were hopping.
Oh.
And how is that, by the way? I know the arena looks beautiful. The Q2 Stadium is phenomenal, but the...
They have more places outside the stadium than they have.
Like food trucks and stuff.
Most places inside of a stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
They do a great job.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. All right, so you're a fan of Waffle House, correct?
For sure.
You ever heard of something called, say, the Waffle House Challenge? Waffle House Challenge?
Uh-oh.
Yep, big and fancy football.
Yes. So apparently a guy lost his fantasy football league. He finished last, and a lot of leagues will have a punishment for the last place team. You have a champion that wins the dough.
I got it.
And takes all the mad loot and finishes. And the last place guy's got to do a challenge. So this is called the Waffle House Challenge. You have to spend 24 hours at a local Waffle House, but you can shave an hour off of it for every waffle that you eat. Like full waffle.
Ooh. Could I do country bacon?
Nope.
Country ham?
Nope.
Country ham?
Nope.
Mm.
Well, you can, but you only get an hour shaved off of your challenge by eating a waffle, a full waffle.
Ugh.
So apparently this guy got there and he ended up eating 9 waffles. So he shaved it down to 15 hours and stayed from 4 in the afternoon until sun up the next morning and says he's never eaten waffles again.
I love my local Waffle House, but I'm not staying up in that place.
I know.
It's got a chill in the booth. A lot of different kind of folks come up in that place during the course of 24
watching.
Hours.
Now, something that could
watch
you
them from my car.
I know you think you could. Could you eat more than 9 waffles, Zay? You got the whole hour to eat it. You got as much time. I mean, you can eat it as slow or as fast as you want, but... I think I could get that thing to 15.
We play some good jams up in the Waffle House, my local Waffle House, in the jukebox. Jamming there, singing there, hell yeah.
I think I could shave that down more than just 9. That would be my guess. Hey, and we finished a show over the weekend, Buck. It's not a funny show. You're going to have to watch the series Mayor of Easttown.
Okay.
Where she drinks a lot of Rolling Rock beer.
Cool.
But I'm just going to say, Kate Winslet is going to, she'll win awards for that. She did a great job. It's a good show.
Okay. I'll get to that one.
And I don't, you know what's pretty cool is because that's your, you know, Easttown, Pennsylvania is not too far from where you grew up in Bethlehem.
Maybe they're making Easttown like it's Easton, Pennsylvania, possibly.
Yes.
Well, okay.
No, there is an Easttown, and it's west
there
of
is?
Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, then that's not far from me.
Not far. And
it's not far from Ben Simmons, his house either.
Right. And that's where you grew up, though. And it's amazing. Kate Winslet's British, and she pulls off the Pennsylvania accent, like,
seriously.
The dialect is awesome. She does an awesome
job.
Does
she say use? Use
yes,
people?
Yes. You would. That's one of the reasons you should watch it, because you're going to feel like you're back home with all your people.
With my peeps?
All your people.
Nice.
But it's only 7 episodes.
Okay.
And it's a one-off. It's just, that's not a series now. That's it. 7 episodes. It's good.
By the way, I didn't tell you folks that my pack mule wife is also a pilot.
What?
And there wouldn't be any way in the world, and I just love her to death, but I would not, if she said, I've got the plane, we can go and take this flight, and we don't have to pay for it, we can get to a place, I would say, I'll see you there, I'm going to drive the car, I'll meet you there.
You wouldn't trust your
or
wife
in the
an
canyon
airplane?
Somewhere where you crash. No. No.
She's not, I always think of that pilot, she's not planning to crash either. She's good.
I know, I got it, but if she goes and crashes, she needs to crash alone. I'll be in the car.
Your wife's a pilot?
Yes.
Does she have a plane?
No, she doesn't have a plane.
But she has a pilot's license.
And if you have a plane to lend her, good luck.
That's hilarious. All right, let's get to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, everybody hold your ears. First Blitzer, you're up.
All right, enough. Hey.
What's happening, man?
Toro, great to see La Rafaela Murga at the game on Saturday, Toro.
Very nice.
But Toro, yeah. It is clear, dude, we need another striker. So I did some research, dude. What do you think we go after El Proto Potro Romani from Cruz de Cuervos as a trade for striker?
Did you say if we go after me huevos? No, we don't want your huevos. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, that home plate umpire last night was incredibly inconsistent. The only thing he was consistent in was making bad calls. But the worst call is not to go to Cedar Point. 17 roller coasters and the best saltwater taffy in the world.
17 roller coasters? Who the hell wants 17 roller coasters? Are you kidding me?
We rode them all.
Wow.
We rode them all except for the one. The line was way too long, the newest one.
God, next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, UT, y'all ain't playing South Florida anymore. This is South Florida.
Oh.
South Florida,
hey,
nice.
Hey, we knew. Step up in class, and Mississippi State edged it out.
Absolutely. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, guys, you ever notice how much Rod Davis and Avery Johnson sound alike?
Avery
a
Johnson?
A little bit. I've listened to them both. Rod doesn't sound as bad as Avery. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky.
Yeah.
Come by my house today and take a look at my tree trunk and my parents.
I wish I could have heard that, but I really did not hear any of it. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, dude, that Waffle House challenge sounds like a normal breakfast to me. This is Mike McCarthy.
Normal 9 or 10 waffles. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Bobby Balloon. Yeah, hey, you think that U.S. Open snake was big? Go to see Tim Duncan.
Oh, oh my God. Oh, boy, what a rattler. Next Blitzer, you're up.
This is Roberto Kraft, Mr. Tree Trunk. Whether it's at the plates, on the links, or the hardwood, you got to have stroke.
You got to have stroke, absolutely. That means chill out. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, E.
Yes.
Hey, the best roller coaster ride after world for me was Grease Lightning, especially when you hear loop the loop.
Loop the loop?
Oh, no.
Oh! Shut it down!
Oh, no!
Let's go home!
Grease Lightning was a classic.
Are you
quick.
Kidding me? Is that the one that, not the loop, there's one that goes the loop the loop?
When you sit and it shoots you like 0 to 100 and then you go up and over a zoop. We used to get there early when we had our season passes and we'd get on that thing before the park got crowded. And we'd finish it, and they'd just go again. And they'd finish it, and there'd be nobody in line.
God,
so it is like, go again.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was an all-day cookie right there. All right, we'll be back. We continue the conversations. Longhorns into the loser's bracket. Conference finals are set in the NBA. John Rahm is the U.S. Open champion. All things we're talking about on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. We got a little Texas football in the mix, too, as the Longhorns had another big recruiting weekend. And summer workouts continue. We'll get you the latest on that front as well. It's V&A, live, local, and digital. Always streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.